Yo, man, what's up? What's up? What's up? Loki Theory, the podcast where we talk everything about MMA, fights, news, and breakdowns from a fan's perspective. It's your host, Isidoro Rodriguez. You can follow me on Instagram at el.dolito. So, el.dolito on Instagram. So, if you have any questions after this podcast, you know, shit that you want to get off your chest, I'm like, oh, I don't know, who should be the next for the 155 title shot against Khabib? I don't know, do that. Today's show is gonna be a little bit different because usually I talk mostly about the UFC, but today we're gonna talk about Bellator. Bellator of all promotions. No diss on Bellator, but if you know me, you know that I'm not really the biggest fan of Bellator. They got really good fighters over there that should be in the UFC, but you know, they kind of waste time in Bellator, but neither here or there. It's been a bit different because Bellator is doing the heavyweight Grand Prix. So yesterday was Bellator 198, which was Fedor Emelianenko, the legend, against Frank Mir, which was a former UFC heavyweight champion and fighter. So yeah, let's do that. So without further ado, let's kick off the show. Enjoy the show. Tell me something later. I don't know. Do you? All right, so this has been going on. I'm not going to be here for long because, you know, nothing's big has happened in the MMA world right now. But that's why I'm covering Bellator. But what they got going on is their heavyweight Grand Prix, which Fedor Emelianenko fought Frank Mir and beat him in 48 seconds. In 48 seconds. Honestly, what I thought of the fight is that because Fedor is a legend, if you were an MMA fan or like a martial arts fan, you know that Fedor is a legend. He's been fighting in Pride, Strikeforce, mostly all of the promotions. You are, except for the UFC, but you know, we never got that. But Fedor is a legend, beat the best of the best, submitted the best of the best. But you know, Fedor is not on his prime. And even if you saw the fight, he was rocking a massive dad bod. The man, neither of them were really in shape. Like, it's literally only in MMA where you mostly see heavyweights that are, like, fat. In boxing, you do have, like, heavyweights that are fat. But, like, in MMA, mostly of the other heavyweight division, they're, like, big and chubby-ish. You know what I'm saying? So this is how the fight went. Fedor comes, as soon as this fight starts, Frank Mir goes right in, putting a little bit of pressure. And then drops Fedor. Literally drops him. Right there. Fedor just drops him. Everybody, yo, whatever. Then Fedor gets back up. Frank Mir puts the pressure on him. Pushes him against the cage. They clinch. And then Fedor gets the opportunity to do a hip toss. But then I think his hooks weren't in. So he just could have used the mount. He could have went for the mount, but he didn't do it. So they just get back up again. So it's just now Frank Mir is confident. He's going towards Fedor. He keeps on putting the pressure on, and they're like exchanging strikes. He lands a good 1-2. Continue, and then Frank Mir just literally goes just charges Fedor, and Fedor just misses with the right hand, and as soon as Frank Mir ducks, he gets hit with a left hook, literally not even a big one. It's like a short one to the chin, and then just falls. Fedor punches him, and then the referee stops the fight, and it was that. So Fedor beats Frank Mir, and he advances to fight Chael Sonnen for the heavyweight Grand Prix tournament, right? And before I even go and break down or like talk about the Sonnen fight, like Frank Mir, bro, is just Frank Mir is one of those fighters, right? Because he when he was in the UFC, he was already declining. He started losing, not really there. His skills weren't really there. I think we had a fight with Marquand. He lost that one. He got knocked the fuck out bad. And then I think he won. But before that, he won a fight. And just, when he got cut from the UFC, because he got flagged by USADA, he went to Bellator. And that's the move. That's one of the reasons I'm not really a fan of Bellator. Because that's like the UFC retirement home. Where they like, UFC fighters that don't really, they don't have the juice no more. They go to Bellator and then they get like title fights in their first debut. They've been doing it with fucking Benson Henderson. They didn't do it straight away with Rory McDonald, but they usually do it like that when UFC fighters go over there. And Frank Mir lost again at Bellator. Mind you, this is still Fedor, right? But like, I don't know what's next for Frank Mir. I don't know if you, like, retire or you just commentate. Because he's still a household name. He's still respected. He's done a lot in the sport. This is the guy who beat Brock Lesnar and shit. But, nah, I don't think Frank Mir, I think it's over for him. But next to that, Chael Sonnen fights Fedor Emelianenko. Chael Sonnen is literally, I'd say, Chael Sonnen, the guys who I think they have the biggest chance to win the tournament are Ryan Bader and Chael Sonnen. Out of those people, why? Because Ryan Bader used to fight a light heavyweight, and Chael Sonnen used to fight at middleweight. They're very athletic. They'll still have their good wrestling. Their striking is good. Ryan Bader is way better than Chael Sonnen's, but Chael Sonnen could make work what he got. And I think they're like literally the fittest out of all of the heavyweights that they got. Literally. If you literally look at the heavyweight Grand Prix tournament, you see you have Roy Nelson, big ass belly. Matt Mitrione, big, but you know, Ben Mitrione is still athletic. But like, and then the fit, and you have Fedor, dad bod. King Mo is in shape. Rampage Jackson, not the same anymore. Literally, either only King Mo, Ryan Bader, and Chael Sonnen are like literally the fittest ones. And I think Ryan Bader is going to be King Mo because they're going to fight. They're the ones next. And then after that, whoever wins between Fedor and Chael Sonnen fights the winner of Ryan Bader and King Mo. And then for the finals, to see who is the winner and wins the Grand Prix. But I believe either Chael Sonnen or Ryan Bader get the title. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I feel like Chael Sonnen could do it. I feel like Chael Sonnen could beat Fedor Emelianenko. It's just very good, very, very easy game plan. Just take him down and just punish him. And just going to be like a decision win. I'm pretty sure. I feel like that's going to be Chael Sonnen's plan. Other than that, it's kind of stupid because you don't really want to trade blow for blow with one of the best heavyweights in history, me being Fedor Emelianenko. So if I was Chael Sonnen, I think the game plan that he's gonna take, that he's gonna use, is just basically wrestle Fedor, tire him out. Because I think after the second round, Fedor's tank is just gonna go, and then yeah, I think that could be an easy win for Chael Sonnen if he has the right game plan. Which is basically just wrestle him. What else was there? Other than the main event, it was just basically a jiu-jitsu fucking seminar. As Joe Rogan and Brandon Shaw said it on the Fight Companion. It was hilarious. But like, literally, it was a jiu-jitsu seminar. Almost everybody won by submission. Rafael Lovato won by armbar. Neiman Gracie won by arm triangle. Dylan Danis got his debut in with a guy that was like on a losing streak. I think he was 2-4 or some shit. By toe hold, and then he said, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna run Bellator." And if you don't know, Dylan Danis is one of those guys that like one of those guys that trains with Conor McGregor. He's one of his crew guys, basically. But like, everybody calls him out because like, oh yeah, you're trying to be Conor, you're not that. It's kind of forced, which I do get, because sometimes his attitude is very, very forced. Like, you be like, oh yeah, you bums. I'm like, I know you don't really talk like that. I know you don't really talk like that, because it's not even original. He's like, sometimes he's like literally talks like Connor does. He's just saying word for word shit that he said. Or like when Connor said, "Oh, I'm gonna run boxing. Oh yeah, I'm gonna run Bellator." I'm like, yeah, because Bellator is gonna survive. But you know, got his MMA debut in. And then I heard he called out fucking Ben Askren, of all people. I'm like, if you don't know who Ben Askren is, it's like one of the best welterweights in MMA ever. Like, literally, you just called him out. I'm like, Dylan, okay, I don't know if you, you barking the wrong tree. This is too much for you right now. Get a couple of more wins. Have Bellator feed you, like, guys with losing streaks. And then fight a guy that's okay. And then you'll be like, oh, okay, Ben Askren. Because, you know. Which is going to be tough for Dylan Danis. Because he's, like, at the best division that... He's on the best division that Bellator got. If he gets too high, you get fucked up. Because you got killers. And from what I saw from the fight, his striking wasn't together. The striking wasn't all there. But we'll see what Bellator does with him. Speaking of calling out, Rory McDonald, which in my opinion I think is one of what top five welterweights in MMA, also called out Ben Askren. I wish that was set, because I would love to see that fight. Why not? Fuck it. It would be like the biggest welterweight fight outside of the UFC. And I'd probably even buy the fucking card. I'd probably even buy the card and watch it. But you know, other than that, I think that's literally, that's it for fucking Bellator. There's nothing going on. Let's see what's up with the UFC. What's up with the UFC? Oh, there's changes in fights. So Kamaru Usman was supposed to fight Santiago Ponzinibbio for UFC in Chile? Yeah, in Chile. So, but then Santiago was injured. I think he injured the thumb, so he was out. And then Kamaru was like, oh yeah, but you know, I want to fight, but you better give me a top 10. Because I don't know what rank Kamaru's in. I think he's number 8 or some shit. He wants the ranked opponent. So Damian Maia steps in. Damian Maia lost to Tyron Woodley for the title. When he fought for the title, got awestruck, got beat the fuck up. Even when fucking Tyron Woodley only had one hand. But it's a very rough fight for Damian Maia, in my opinion. I feel like Kamaru Usman beats the brakes out of Damian Maia. Not gonna lie, they're both very good grapplers. Kamaru's a very good wrestler, very strong wrestler. Damian Maia, very good at takedowns. Sometimes fails a lot, but very good at takedowns, very good takedown defense. Very excellent jiu-jitsu, is dangerous anywhere. A fight on the ground is very tricky and very dangerous for Kamaru. I just don't see Kamaru winning against Damian Maia. Damian Maia is kind of old now, past his prime, not really there. He's one of those guys that, like, one of the gatekeepers other than Wonderboy. He's the guy who, if you fight him, you lose, and then he beats everybody and then fights for the title and then loses, and then it remains that way. He never, like, gets the title. He was never really a guy that really got the shot. But I feel like this is Kamaru's year, and Kamaru, this is a good fight for him, because if he beats Damian Maia, he could be very, very close for the title shot. Maybe fight I don't know, Wonderboy next. Maybe fight Wonderboy if he beats Till, or fight Till or another guy that's maybe a number 4 or a number 2 in the division, and then get a title shot. Why not? What else? Israel Adesanya, the guy that everybody says is John Jones, even though they don't really look alike. They don't really fight the same. They fight a little. They have similar styles, but they fight completely different. He's gonna fight Brad Tavares. And Brad Tavares was the guy, when he won, he called out Bisping. And Bisping was like, don't really want to do that. It's whatever. So they're going to fight for at the end of Tough 27. Which is cool. I want to see. I like Israel Adesanya. Right, I really like him. I think he's going to be something in the middleweight division. What else is there? Jose Aldo who's fighting Jeremy Stephens, said he wanted to retire after the fight with after the second loss against Max Holloway. But then he like changed his mind. He said, "Oh yeah, I want to fight three more times," which is cool because you know, literally he's a legend in the featherweight division. Jose Aldo is always a big fight for any featherweight, and any featherweight that beats Jose Aldo could just literally claim for the title. It could be, I don't know, if he like, let's say he beats Jeremy Stephens or goes the other way around, you could always keep Jose Aldo around and fucking Frankie Edgar to fight. Because that fight always is a big fight. And Frankie Edgar always wants to beat Jose Aldo. And all. But yeah. You know. Other than that. What else got going on? No. Dana White. TMZ stopped Dana White and asked him about Conor McGregor. Because you know. That's what's. Because Conor McGregor runs the show. Quote unquote. If he would fight Khabib in Russia. And then he was like. Dana White was like. Nah. We don't want to fight Khabib in Russia because it's such a big fight. We want to do it in Vegas. And I was like, I don't know. Wouldn't it be bigger in Russia? Because, you know, Khabib says, oh, you have like 160 million fans and all that stuff over there. But I think they want to, I don't know, keep it in the U.S. Maybe they don't want to take Conor there because, you know, the Russians might do some other shit. Dude might die. But we don't know about Conor because we don't know about the New York State Athletic Commission hasn't said anything. We don't know if he would do a charges. We don't know if he's how he's gonna get punished. If he's gonna be fighting soon, so it's all up in the air. But I hope that fight goes. But I hope that fight gets fucking set up. What else is there? Oh yeah, I'm gonna talk about UFC 224 in a second. But hold on, let's go. I'm gonna take a little break, and I'll come back and I'll talk about UFC 224. Alright, I'm back. Let's break down UFC 224, which, not gonna lie, UFC 224 is next week, and I haven't seen nothing of promo. It was like nothing. I just didn't hear shit. You can't hear nothing. But then again, I said the last podcast because I thought the car was pretty much trash. Nothing really appeasing other than the Lyoto Machida and Vitor Belfort fight, because for me, I think that's a cool fight to watch. I think that's the favorite fight. That's gonna be like my favorite fight to watch in the event. But other than that, the event is kind of, it's just literally meh to me. It's just it's like one of those slow UFC cards that you just watch just because okay, cool, whatever. I'm waiting for something more exciting to happen, but you know. But, you know, let's go and break down the fight. Let's start with my favorite fight. The Lyoto Machida versus Vitor Belfort fight. Now, this is make or break for... I was going to say make or break for either fighters, but nah, Lyoto Machida just came back. He had the win. No, he had a loss. He lost and then had a win. Controversial win versus Eric Anders. But then again, it was in Brazil. And Vitor Belfort he won his last fight, but prior to that, he was on a losing streak. So if Vitor loses this fight, it could be goodbye career. I don't know. I just don't feel like Vitor. I don't see why he still fights when there's no improvement. Hasn't been improving on his game. He's not on TRT anymore. It's no longer, you know, super Vitor. It's not Vitor in his prime no more. So I don't know why. I don't know why he should be fighting. But then again, he could win. He could win the fight. I think Lyoto is gonna win the fight by either decision or TKO. I say TKO third round. These are Brazilian legends. They're far from their prime. Both were former UFC light heavyweight champion. One was light heavyweight champ. They both were UFC light heavyweight champions at a certain time. You know, but you know, I think this fight is gonna be a good one for the fans. I think it's gonna be a good fight for the fans, for the people that like know who these guys are, seen their fights. But you know, I believe Lyoto Machida wins the fight. I don't know. Maybe I'm gonna predict head kick. Heike TKO, Heike in the third round. I don't think Belfort can keep up with Lyoto's movement, even though they're both old now. But what's next? John Lineker, Hands of Stone versus Brian Kelleher. They're both coming off wins. I feel like John Lineker beats Brian Kelleher because I'm more aware of his career rather than Brian Kelleher's. I should look up more into Brian Kelleher. I know he beat Renan Barrow, but other than that, I don't really know who else he beat. John Lineker beat Marlon Vera, but then prior to that lost to TJ Dillashaw in a very outstanding performance by TJ Dillashaw. But John Lineker is very dangerous, likes to plant his feet and just throw hooks and just try to break people with his fucking forward pressure. So I believe he's gonna win. Then you have a fight that I don't really care about, which is Mackenzie Dern versus ABC Cooper, which should be in the prelims. I don't know why it's doing it in the main card. I feel it's because Mackenzie Dern is like the new jiu-jitsu. She's like the jiu-jitsu. She's very, very famous in the jiu-jitsu world. So they're trying to like push her into the main card to like, I don't know, try and make a new Ronda Rousey. I think that's what they're trying to do. But I don't know. Her first fight didn't seem impressive to me. You can see that her jiu-jitsu skills are on point. She's really good in the on the ground game, but striking needs work. And I don't know. ABC Cooper is kind of a veteran. She's not really all that either. So we'll see. It could be either or for this fight. But I don't really care about it. Let's move to the next one. Jacare Souza versus Kelvin Gastelum. Now, this is a big fight for the middleweight division. Because, as I said before, either of them can, like, win this fight. For Kelvin to win this fight, he has to fight the same way or in a similar way that Robert Whittaker, when he fought Jacare. Just very, like, elusive movement, a lot of footwork, just darting, in and out, quick, stick and move, and then just literally go for the chin when the chin is there and just knock out Jacare. But Jacare is also very fucking, Jacare hits very, very hard, not mentioning that he's a fucking jiu-jitsu world champion. So if it goes to the ground, it's just over for Kelvin. Even you might think, oh no, because Kelvin used to train at Time Planet. He's a very good wrestler and very good jiu-jitsu. But then again, when he fought Chris Weidman just took him to the ground and just manhandled him. So I feel like Jacare could do the same if they go to the ground. But on this fight, I'm going to lean more on Kelvin Gastelum just because he's been on a roll in the middleweight division. Yes, he was stopped by Chris Weidman, but other than that, he's been on a roll. He knocked out Michael Bisping. So if he wins this fight, it could be knocking for a title shot soon, next year. And this is the main event. Let's talk about the main event, which is Amanda Nunes, bantamweight champion, versus the challenger, Raquel Pennington. I'm just going to go off the gate and say Amanda Nunes wins this fight, because I feel like she just put out everybody in the bantamweight division. Some have retired. Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate retired. And others, Valentina Shevchenko moved division. Holly Holm, we don't know what she's doing anymore. I don't know if she wants to be featherweight or she wants to be go back to bantamweight. We don't know. It's kind of up in the air. And Not a lot is going on in fucking the female bantamweight division. I feel if like Amanda Nunes beats, which I'm pretty sure she's gonna beat Raquel Pennington, even though Raquel Pennington is a very, very tough fighter. I just feel like that the female bantamweight division is just gonna die. It's just, there's nobody there. Amanda Nunes is gonna be like the champion for a very long time, because I don't think like there's challenge in the division anymore. There's nobody like really there that I feel like, ooh, that if that person gets another win, ooh, she's gonna like fucking destroy and really going to be a serious threat to the champion. Maybe if Jessica Andrade was there, but she's at flyweight. No, strawweight right now. So, I don't know. But yeah, this is all I think about UFC 224. I'm not gonna lie, I told you, because it's not really an impressive card to me. Even though there's like cool fights, like the Lyoto fight is a good fight for me, and the Jacare fight is also great. Oh, come on, really? Well, sorry, my bad. This is fucking ice cream store, ice cream man over there. But yeah, other than that, that's what I think about the UFC 224 card. Alright, man, it's been fun. It's been the Low-Key Theory episode 5. Very, very, very weak topics today because, you know, Bellator and also not a lot of things been going on. But I might do a recap or a breakdown of the semifinals and the finals of the Heavyweight Grand Prix and next few episodes. Also, I'm going to cover next week, I'm going to cover the UFC 224 and do the breakdowns of the fights, what I like, what I didn't like. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the fight. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at el.dolito, and if you have any questions, send me that, or you know, ask me something about the podcast, or you know, other fights, key points and shit like that. Also, you could rate the podcast. You could rate it on Anchor, you could listen to it on Google Play, rate it on that, share on that. Also, I really appreciate it if you like rated my podcast on iTunes as well. If you have an iPhone, you could go on, you know, you already know, you could go on the podcast, listen to the podcast, share it with a friend, rate it, like it, it'll help a lot. So, yeah, man, I'll catch you guys later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.